Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hello, everyone, and thanks again for joining me for another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Before we get into our main episode this evening, I would like to get some housekeeping out of the way. If you are interested in viewing or reading any of my books, please go to my website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com, and on that website you will see the 8 books I currently have on Amazon. And if you are interested in going further and actually purchasing any of my books, I would highly recommend that you purchase book number 8, which is Manifestations, because it has 4 of those books contained within that book. And in those books, you will see pictures, you will see illustrations, sketches. I have a lot of, I have terminology in there to help you understand certain aspects that I'm trying to explain or things that I've experienced that I write about. For those of you who are just joining for the first time or you're a newbie to the program, I usually start out, you know, or started a long time ago with telling a little bit about myself. I have literally experienced and still do to this day just over 100 different types of experiences, and they're not all the same. And some from the very mild to some to being very traumatic. That's some of those traumatic ones, by the way, are in book number 8. And I've also really took hold of the paranormal probably in 2007 when I photographed what I believe to be my great-grandfather and his daughter, or my great-aunt, in the window of my grandparents' home. That, in and of itself, brought me into the paranormal at a full-throttle, let's-move-ahead type of thing, and I have been experiencing this ever since, or being able to recognize what might be happening around me versus being a kind of oblivious to things that have been trying to show themselves or get in touch with me in some way, but ignoring that for something else. That would be from the skeptic point of view. Okay, so anyway, that's how I kind of got into this field. It got to the point where people were asking me to, you know, write books. And then I thought about, well, maybe I should be writing books and podcasting at the same time. So that has been a really good avenue for me to express stuff that I've been going through, probably something I haven't done before these past 3 years, is I really enjoy listening to the variety of paranormal programming that's out there, because what I've learned is to look at things a little bit more critically and also with a microscope to be able to really determine, or not being able to determine, what could be happening out in our world. That's been going on for many, many, many years. So anyway, thank you for your listenership and thank you for hanging in there with me. I try to bring you interesting guests, and I try to bring forth interesting situations and topics to talk about, just to keep you in the loop and then to just have you try to think about what you might be experiencing yourself in your own world. I wanted to touch back, and I think I might do that with the haunted report coming up here, but tonight we're going to before I forget, and I'm sorry to jump in and back and forth like this, but for those of you who want to hear, I have about 60 episodes now on Podomatic. If you want to know how to get there in a way to access those shows, you would go into my website. Again, it's www.paranormaluniversalpress.com. And up in the right-hand side, you're going to see a button called Podomatic. Click on that. That'll bring you directly into my website. There you'll see all the various shows that I've had on since I began this. And from that, you can click on the title and you can listen for free. You can also subscribe for free and, of course, download, play, whatever is most convenient to you. And again, of course, if you like a show, like it. That way I know that I'm at least hitting a nerve out there, okay? But anyway, long story on that one. What I think I'm going to do in setting up this segment this evening is I'm going to first start out with the haunted report. And then from there, we're going to move into my experiences at the Admiral Fell in Baltimore, Maryland, where my husband and I were just recently. And he was with me for these occurrences and the listening to the history about this place. And I think you're going to find it to be something to think about, not necessarily from a believer standpoint, but maybe from someone who's a skeptic would probably debunk it as something else. That's what we're going to talk about this evening. So, as always, we're going to move into the Haunted Report first. Stay tuned.
Did I hear somebody come in?
Welcome to the Haunted Report. For this brief segment, I would like to go back in time and revisit the last interview I had with Mitzi and try to open up a dialogue with you about some of the comments that she made when I asked her some questions, especially the one regarding whether or not I may have been abducted by a UFO or a alien presence or whatnot. And I've had an opportunity for the last few weeks to sit and think about some of the things that she mentioned and tried to either fill in the blanks myself or recollect what may have happened to bring me back to a potential memory of my experiences or the potential experience. So for those of you who may have not listened to that episode yet, it's the last one, which is part one and part two with Mitzi as a UFO experiencer and also potential abductee. And she is also a shaman, a psychic, and someone with very, very interesting medical healing type, I don't want to use the word powers, something to do with her ability to be able to see the issues that people may have from a health perspective. Okay, so let's go back and talk a little bit about when I asked her. Remember, one of the things I've always been struggling with is why my abilities are becoming stronger or more in tune or more open to some of the things that are happening around me and what is going on. One of the things that I had wanted to do was to try to talk with somebody who had a bit of experience with UFOs or alien presences that would be able to pinpoint for me what's going on. So one of the issues that I brought up in shows of past was when I woke up one morning and I did not have my clothes on and they were down by my feet on a chair way down at the end of the bed. My husband's pillowcase was off his pillow again and in between us. I had wondered to myself, what was that all about? And I struggled with trying to figure out, it's not just the idea that this is off of me, it's the idea that I also felt really weird, different, odd, not typical of how I feel when I normally wake up. And so anyway, I'd asked her if it was possible that I could have had some kind of a UFO or alien presence doing something to me that evening. And Mitzi had mentioned that, no, that I was in a very deep sleep and it was very likely that I probably walked without my knowledge, obviously. How I got the pillowcase out from underneath my husband's head is yet to be determined. But this has happened very rarely. And any sleepwalking episodes of me, they have happened, but very rarely. And so I have to agree with her assessment that what I experienced was probably more due to a deep sleepwalking moment than it was with me having any kind of an interaction with anything that may have been in my room or controlling me to the point of being able to do that to me. However, when I had asked her the question, and part of this is off that interview, by the way, and the other part made the interview, was whether or not I ever had any kind of an experience with any kind of a UFO or alien presence or something not of this world, because I still believe in my heart that the things that I do experience don't just come from me. I stand behind that, you know, 100%. When I asked her if that could have happened, now most of you would probably sit back and say, well, what is she supposed to say? You're asking her this on the moment, makes for good radio, you know, blah, blah, blah. But in my world, I don't want the blah, blah, blah. Just spill it, you know. You either know it or you don't know it. You can read me, you can't read me. You know I had this experience. You know I didn't have this experience. And the last thing I want is to be BS'd by somebody into making me believe that something happened to me that didn't happen to me. Okay, so are you all with me? Are you kind of following why I've been kind of frustrated about, you know, what do I believe and what I don't believe? But in this particular case, in this question, I do know when it happened. It was the question I asked her about whether or not I had actually been either abducted or visited by an alien-type presence. And I can honestly tell you I know exactly when it happened. When she said 2.5 years or so ago, I was in, of course, Las Vegas, by myself, writing one of the books that I currently have out on Amazon right now. And basically, in a nutshell, I was on a floor in one of the more popular buildings. I don't want to say popular, but more upscale. That's what I wanted to say. More upscale buildings near the top. Okay. By myself and looking out the window on a quote unquote full moon evening. I don't know what it is about me, but it seems like when I'm in Vegas, you know, when I'm there frequently, I'm always there when there's a full moon. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know what draws me out there at that time. Anyway, I do recall looking out the window, and I do recall just staring at the moon, and I do recall just kind of looking around below me and everything like that. But when I went to bed, my lights were starting to flicker, malfunction, act kind of weird. As I shut the lights off, there was a point before I fell asleep where something knocked directly behind my head. And behind my head, the room was the bathroom. So, and it wasn't coming from above me or anywhere else. It was literally coming from behind my head. I knew I had some kind of a ghostly presence in my room. Every time I'm in Vegas, there is some indicator of a ghostly presence in my room in some way. And this will also lead us into the main segment tonight and the experiences that I had while in Washington, D.C. and at the inn, Admiral Fell Inn in Baltimore, Maryland, just less than a week and a half ago. When she had said, yes, they were there and they were checking my blood, believe it or not, when I woke up the next morning, I felt strange and odd. And I felt the same way that I did when I woke up without clothes in my bedroom and the pillowcase was off my husband's pillow, et cetera, et cetera. And it was the exact same feeling. So, of course, you know, I'm toying back and forth here. There was no sleepwalking involved in this room. I still had my clothes on. I just didn't feel like I normally feel when I wake up. And when she said that they were checking my blood, most of you are aware that I was diagnosed with cancer about a year and a few months ago, and I had a major surgery to remove the cancer. I am cancer-free up to this point anyway. They managed to get everything. I just want to tell you, though, that when they were checking my blood, see, Mitzi didn't know that I had cancer. Who knows why they were checking my blood? But I do know that there was something in my room. And because the lights were malfunctioning, they wouldn't even come on at one point. Then they were flickering all night. Then they were blinking. Then I had the knocks behind my head. I was absolutely paranoid. You know, you're there by yourself. You're on a floor way up towards the top. It's a full moon evening. And you know that Vegas is tremendously haunted anyway, because every time I'm there, I have some kind of an experience. And it's not imagined. It's just, it comes to me. So anyway, I wanted to clarify that, because some of you may have wondered if when she had said that to me, and you have to go back and listen to that interview, you know, if I ever kind of figured out when that might have happened. Yeah, I knew exactly where I was 2.5 years ago in the most likely location that would have happened. So anyway, that's a little bit on the haunted report there. No occurrences in my house that I know of since the poltergeist left. I'm happy to report that. That was a real pain, by the way. I don't exactly know why I draw these things in here, but I do know that Mitzi, when she was in my house, she did note that there was an area that was like a portal that she could actually see through. And if you're listening, Mitzi, believe me, it, you know, claim to have closed up the portal. Well, let's hope so, okay? Because I don't need an active portal in this house. I don't need to have the entryway of those from the outside coming to the inside. I just don't need it. Anyway, thank you for, if Mitzi, if you're listening, thank you for trying to assist me, help me. And I'm going to be taking some classes with Mitzi regarding skill building, and to try to develop and understand what I'm already experiencing to a greater level than what I'm going through right now. So on that note, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I could offer up on the haunted report other than just an explanation of where I think all this came from. You know, the past, you know, yes, my blood has been checked by a physical, you know, by a doctor, physical and all. Right now it's clean. Anyway, and that makes me happy, because that just tells me that there's hope for me to maybe do some of this work a little bit longer than to cut my life short. When this cancer stuff hits, and many of you have known people who have had cancer, a lot of times you have no idea you have symptoms until it's too late, or you have it to a stage. It just so happens that mine was caught as quickly as possible, and the surgery was aggressive to get it out of me. We do have guardian angels that do look over our shoulders, because the last thing the doctor had told me was that I was a miracle. So anyway, let's get into the main segment here. But before we do that, let's take a short break. Stay tuned.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
The main segment this evening is going to involve two primary areas. One, which is Washington, D.C., the downtown area primarily. And the second one will be Admiral Fell Inn, located in downtown Baltimore, Maryland. This will be the educational portion and interesting portion of the podcast. So let's start out here with Washington, D.C. When you think about Washington, D.C., is this what you think of? When you think about the U.S. Capitol, do you ever think about this? Oh, such a nice kitty. Come here, little kitty. Oh, aren't you just the sweetest little thing? Now, kitty, do you really have to act like that? Come on, give me a little sugar. Nasty little black cat, my God. Scoot, go, scoot, scoot, scoot. Now just mind your own business. My goodness. So one of the things that I just learned, of course, is that in Washington, D.C., at the U.S. Capitol, they seem to have a little issue with something called a demon cat. And, of course, what color is the demon cat? Why, it's black. One thing that I really, really, really like about the downtown Washington, D.C. area is that, well, let's talk about the free museums, okay? That's really great. I love that. When my husband and I were there recently, we went into the Indian Museum, the natural, can't remember what it was called, but the natural museum of, and basically focusing on the Indian culture. Four floors, very interesting, very nicely put together, artifacts and some short videos, and really just something that if you're ever in the DC area down by the Smithsonian Mall, stop in there because it's free, first of all. It'll take you about 3 hours to go through that museum alone. Right next to it is the aerospace one, which I hope to go into perhaps sometime next year. And then, of course, there's also the Washington Monument, the Capitol. I can't remember exactly what they call the one where Abraham Lincoln's statue is. And then, of course, there's others around the area. There's also the National Archives and the Smithsonian. Bring your walking shoes because just a short distance becomes a very long, tiring distance. I would say when we were there, we were very fortunate. We had decent weather. I would say it was overcast, a little bit rainy on some of the days and decent on another day, but overall fairly interesting. One thing that I'm going to focus on, which I found to be from a paranormal perspective, and of course you know that, like I said, every place is haunted no matter where you go around the area. I found this article on the demon cat legend to be actually very interesting, still believed to this day, and a lot of it, they say, has to do with these paw prints. Well, so I'm going to give you kind of a briefer about it, and basically what it's saying from a ghost story perspective. Back in the day, and we're talking Civil War, and also in the John Quincy Adams day, one of the most common ghost stories was in the Capitol. And because of its physical evidence, supposedly, okay, and this is according to a U.S. Capitol tour guide from the Historical Society. And he talks about the tale of this spectral feline known as the demon cat, otherwise initialed as, yep, wait for it, D period C period. And it dates back to at least the 19th century. And what had happened was, the story goes that back in the post-Civil War era, the main thing that people would see or hear about from the night watchman regards a guard who was on patrol one night, and he saw a black cat approaching. And again, he was patrolling the U.S. Capitol, probably, I think, inside the building. And in those days, cats were not uncommon around the building. But what made this one a little bit different is that when the cat came closer to this patrol person, the size of it started to grow larger and larger and larger to the size of a tiger. And the monster cat apparently pounced on the guard. He fell down. He tried to protect himself. And then the creature vanished in midair. And so, of course, like most ghost stories, as this article is being written, there's a number of variations to it. Other people have also seen, later on in the years, sightings of this cat that apparently have scared people to just basically to death. And the cat's appearances have also been linked to national tragedies and also to presidential transitions. So what has kept this demon cat's existence alive the whole time, and why is it so famous? One of the things that's really famous about it is that somewhere in the Senate Rotunda, there are very shallow but obvious paw prints. in concrete. Okay, now one could argue, since we're going now to the skeptic believer theory here, theories, one could argue that when the concrete was put down, that there was a cat, because cats wandered around everywhere, that somehow got its paws stuck into this concrete. And of course, they're shallow. And in 1898, the Capitol building was damaged also by a gas explosion. And in some spots, the original stone was replaced by concrete. It's possible that a cat walked across the wet concrete. Okay, I just said that, right? I'm just reading off this article here. They said that there might be 6 or 8 clear ones, and that DC was also scratched into the concrete, and everyone feels and believes that the DC, otherwise known as the demon cat, put its initials there. So this article goes on to say that as much fun as it is to believe that there's a monster cat prowling the midnight halls of the U.S. Capitol, named Livingood, says that he's not having it. He feels that he can put enough pieces together to debunk this whole theory that there is actually a monster cat roaming those hallways. Although, I've heard this more than once, not just from back in those days, but other people also witnessing something very similar within the last 10 years, obviously, also in the hallway, scaring them to death. This gentleman who wrote this article, let me see if he wrote it or if he's talking about a gentleman who wrote it. Nope, he's talking about a gentleman who went on the debunk side of things. Said that basically, in a nutshell, that the night watchmen were not professional. They would often have a drinking problem and apparently imagined lots and lots of things. Yes, but then how does that explain other people in the past 10 years who have actually seen shadows, enlarged shadows, you name it, and no cat to be found, also wandering in the hallways? Let me see if this has anything else that might be of usefulness. The guard would simply have to go home and recover if they felt that they, if they see the cat and get attacked. And then, of course, that's how the story goes. Another thing is, he regularly gets asked about the demon cat and sees visitors using their cell phones to illuminate the faint paw prints in the rotunda, but he's never heard of a modern sighting of the creature that he claims. Well, yeah, maybe he hasn't. That's kind of odd because it's all over the internet. Not to say you can believe the internet, but that other more credible individuals who had lived in the White House, sorry, not the White House, who have been in the Capitol, have seen this cat. He says that one of the things he tries to get across to people as he's giving a tour is that the spirit of the people who built the building and the people who have acted out history are still in there and that you can still feel it. Yeah, and probably a few other people that are hanging about in there too. So you might want to ask, well, what happened to me while my husband and I were visiting Washington, D.C.? We stayed in a modern-day hotel downtown. Very nice. Wasn't extravagant, but it was nice. One of the things that had happened to me, which I have a hard time debunking because I've had this happen to me before. I was working on my computer. The place in general was not really noted as anything that had been known for hauntings. And so anyway, long story short, I was working on my computer. One day I got up, I needed to go to the restroom, and once again, the drawer in my room was out about 6, 8, 12 inches, just hanging there. Now, let's go on the debunking side here for a moment and play devil's advocate. Yes, there's a train that went throughout the day downtown, could have rattled the furniture in the room at a certain point, caught the piece of furniture off guard, basically, and then the drawer would naturally just come out. Okay, if that's the case then, and the train went through the same way every single day, and we were there for a few days, then why wasn't the drawer hanging out during the middle of the night, at other times and other points during the day? The thing about the drawer or dresser drawers is that they can be awfully confusing. But in my particular case, it seems like something knows that when I see a dresser drawer, lamp stand drawer out, that something is either near, around me, by me, or whatever. I can give you some examples. When my husband and I were in Memphis, and it's unfortunate, his mother had just passed away as we essentially arrived to Memphis. The lamp stand drawer, when I left the room, and he was sitting in a chair, he was distraught, of course. When I came in, I had said, "Why is this drawer out?" And he had no clue as to why it was out. Well, in my books, I should say, I had a situation where I could actually hear the music, her favorite music that was playing in my ears. I felt really dizzy, you know, which is common for me when I'm having an experience. I went out and I heard bells ringing. And of course, when I sent him outside, there were no bells ringing, et cetera, et cetera. I could go on and on about this, but basically in a nutshell, the drawer was out, and it was out about 6, 8, 12 inches. Okay, fast forward, go back to Vegas. I always have experiences with that drawer being out. It's not only happened once, it's happened a couple times, but the thing that's interesting about the drawer is that in the Vegas case and in the Memphis case, there was nothing that would have been able to shake it enough to bring it out that far. And then, of course, we have the drawer out in Washington, D.C. So the ultimate question that is really asked of me is, I was working in a pretty calm state of being, and since I am aware that I do have PK abilities, I am just wondering again if the energy and the connection and the situation and either the calmness or the excitedness or the whatever, the despairness of the situation had somehow lit me on fire. And once again, there comes the drawer hanging out. So this isn't just a one-time occurrence for me. This is like an indicator to me, either I'm doing it or something is trying to demonstrate that I'm doing it. But that's what happened in Washington, D.C. Okay, so now let's go to Baltimore. And I just want you to think about this as I play this upcoming segment. We'll be right back. Hello there, matey. So when you think of Baltimore, when I think of Baltimore, I think of blue crab, yummy, yum, yum, and I think of lots of water, and I think of lots of, I don't want to say seafood, but more along that line, and I also think about ships and boats and harbors and piers, and that's exactly what I think of. But I don't often think of pirates and sea captains and sailors and lots of distress. And that's one of the things that I'm going to get into tonight when I talk a little bit about the experiences I and my husband incurred together at the Admiral Fell Inn, located in downtown Baltimore. But before we go to that, let's go to some of the biggest haunts in Baltimore, so they claim. According to research, these 10 haunted places in Baltimore will send chills down your spine. Well, judging from some of them, I think they send chills down my spine just looking at them. But let's see. Let's start with the first one. Not in any particular order. The first one is the Westminster Hall Burying Grounds. This spot is most known as the location of Edgar Allan Poe's gravesite. What many don't know is that throughout the decades, bodies have been robbed of their valuables or experimented on by local medical students. Now the souls wander the burial grounds at night, forever unable to truly rest. Some also claim to see Edgar Allan Poe sulking to be reunited with his love. All right, so I'm looking at an image here of this burial grounds. You know, judging from what I see here, it could probably use a little more security, just because it, you know, looks a little bit disheveled, and it looks to me like there is a grave that's busted into, and there's some really old markers that I'm looking at here. And, you know, when I was over in Poland and Krakow and went through one of the Jewish cemeteries, of course, they were attempting to put the stones back after they wrecked the place due to the Nazi movement. That one, I have to say, would be in my book one of the creepiest places to hang out, even though we hung out there. Didn't really have an experience. Saw a human bone lying on top of something. How do I know if it's a human bone? I'm not sure if it was an animal bone. But anyway, that cemeteries in and of themselves, unless they're really well-groomed and kept up, can have a tendency to look pretty sad. Okay, so that's the Westminster Hall Burying Grounds. Let's take a look at this one. I got a historic fort here, but I don't necessarily have the name of the fort right off the bat. So I guess you're just going to have to go with me on this one. So there's a fort. Oh, very interesting. When I'm looking at a picture where I pulled up this information. Do you remember me talking to you about, in my past life, a regression episode, number one and probably number two, that I saw this wall? Well, looky, 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 looky. I'm looking at what appears to be the wall that I saw when this therapist was attempting to do a past life regression on me, but it ended up being a remote viewing session where I was seeing all these different things. And I said, remember I said I was standing outside of a wall? Well, I think here it is. So that's interesting. So let's talk about this historic fort. Now, we never went there when we were there. Maybe next time we will. The historic fort is said to be haunted by soldiers and prisoners of war, Apparitions of soldiers have been spotted guarding the walls, and the faint scent of gunpowder sometimes lingers in the air. And if you're feeling extra brave, it says head down to the prison cells where ghost hunters have recorded violent voices via EVP. You know, it's really sad when years later they're still acting up like this, but that's the way it seems to be. Okay, here's another one. The next one on the list is the one we're going to talk about in the moment. It's called the Admiral Fell Inn, which is located in Fells Point, Baltimore, which is down by basically by a pier. This one here, the one that they advertised the most for this hotel or inn that we stayed in, is room 413. And for this one, crime apparently ran pretty rampant a long time ago in this at this spot. Okay, very cobblestoney, you know, drive-like ways. I like that, except it's terrible if you're trying to walk on it. But the cobblestone's really cool. And some say that the spirits of the disgruntled mobsters that roam this specific spot here and their victims remain. And then they talk about room 413. Thank God I wasn't stuck in that room. It's said to be the most haunted as shadows dart across the corners and cold spots unexpectedly appear out of nowhere. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about this inn in just a few moments. Next one, USS Constellation. Okay, it says, although you currently find this ship docked in Baltimore's harbor, kind of pretty, it was once used for several occasions and in several wars. Wow, they did a really good job upkeeping it. The crew members who perished on the USS Constellation still lurk, protecting their treasured ship. Some are even seen to fully appear interacting with tour visitors. Now, you know, that's what I would really love to have an experience. I would like to talk to somebody who's an apparition and then have it just literally disappear and dissipate on me as I either turn around or right in front of me. This one would have been cool. Now, when my husband and I were in Baltimore, you know, there were very threatening, lots of threatening weather, tornadic, straight-line winds. And I really believe that if you're going to have an experience, it's either going to be on a very bright full moon evening type thing or something that produces a lot of electricity. Another place. Oh, this is interesting. I wish I would have went to this one. It's called the Horse You Came In On Saloon. Okay, so tell me a little bit about that. This saloon is known to be the last place that Edgar Allan Poe, boy, he's a big guy in this town, isn't he, was seen before his untimely death. Now some claim you can see his ghost walking down the street towards the saloon or even inside the establishment. It's also not uncommon for ghostly orbs to float around the bar. Okay, well, that's cool. The only thing that one probably wouldn't know, though, is if they don't know what Edgar Allan Poe looks like, you know, it's kind of like lost cause here. But what a cool looking sign for this bar. Maybe next time we're there, we'll make a little jaunt over there. The next one, Lord Baltimore Hotel. Yeah, probably actually from the looks of it, I would bet we pass that one. The Baltimore Hotel is quite a showstopper and filled with history. The apparition of a little girl has been reported wandering the halls while crying. It's rumored that she committed suicide in the hotel and her soul remains trapped within the walls. She may even grab your hand in the elevator. Maybe that's going to be the next place we stay at when we go back to Washington, D.C. next year. We'll stay at this, better look back here, the Lord Baltimore Hotel. All right, once again, Edgar Allan Poe's residence hits the map here. That's a cool-looking little building. Are you sensing a theme here? Yes, I am. I'm sensing that Edgar Allan Poe seems to be a big deal in Baltimore. So apparently he spreads throughout the city. He had lived at this place I'm looking at for quite some time with his family. It's now a museum dedicated to his life, and visitors have a tendency to spot him, or they hear footsteps falling behind them, or even feeling of being touched. Been there, done that. Okay, next one, Lekan Park. Okay, Lekan Park. Dozens of bodies have been dumped here over the decades. Oh, I'm glad I didn't go there. 71 that are known, but a number of them that could be much higher. Crime victims are said to wander the park at night, sobbing and appearing to be lost. This park is a great place to visit during the day, but stay out of it at night. No worries. I'll heed your warning. Thank you for letting me know. Kind of creepy when I look at it. These trees are hanging down. It's overgrown. Path is worn. USS Torque. Now, that one looks like a submarine to me. It says another water vessel makes Baltimore's most haunted list. The USS Torque is located in the harbor. Visitors touring the interior of it. I'll have to do that next time. Taking in the historic sites, they sometimes spot a ghostly crew member trying to climb aboard. Allegedly, he died a long time ago while diving off the vessel and still struggles to pull himself up. Okay, now that one would be a little bit unnerving. And then the USCGC Tanny. What's that one about? That's another boat. Are you getting a theme with boats here? You guessed it. It says another Inner Harbor ship that's known for its ghostly crew members. This is the only surviving combat ship of Pearl Harbor, so it's bound to have a tragedy or two. Check it out, and you might hear some footsteps or whispers. Okay, and then it's asking if I've had any experiences. The answer is maybe, and also things that I have heard. One thing that I heard is back in the early 1900s, there was this terrible, terrible fire. It looks like people were jumping to their deaths out of these windows because they had to do something. It was either burn up in the fire or whatever. And then the bottom line is that there are a lot of people that lost their lives. So, but the downtown area in Baltimore is known to be extremely haunted. Well, not extremely. That's a very exaggerative word. Very haunted. And basically, in a nutshell, it has been for years. So now let's finish up this segment with just a couple of things from the Admiral Fell Inn in Fells Point, Baltimore, where my husband and I stayed. Well, when we first arrived, the area, by the way, is absolutely quaint. Cobblestone, lots of fun-looking storefront, restaurants, pubs, antique shops, you name it, really cool. By the waterway, you can walk down the pier a little bit, have a nice little walk. I really enjoyed that area. We'll probably end up going back, but again, staying at maybe this other hotel to see if we can have any luck there. I am on the fence, to be honest with you, about the things that we experienced there that day, evening. Known to be the number 6th most haunted, I believe, in the Maryland area, or TripAdvisor quote-unquote haunted hotels. Here are the things that I can just tell you about it briefly. Apparently, back in the 1770s, this was quite a bustling area, as in sea captains, pirates, sailors, brothels, crime, mobsters, the whole 10 yards, all happened in this one area here. Now, when I was there, could I feel any of this unrest? It depends. We had a really bad storm coming that way that night that we were there. People love to announce that their places are haunted down there because they probably are, not just a gimmick. But here are some of the things that happened when we arrived. The first thing I noticed was that I watched the attendant who checked us in. I watched him do the keys, okay? So we got up to our room and couldn't get in at all. It was like the keys just didn't work at all. Now, of course, let's debunk this for a moment. You might say, well, maybe he keyed in the wrong room. Okay, maybe he did. or maybe he didn't. So when I sent my husband back down to get the keys straightened out, he was very puzzled. He said it was almost like someone scratching their head, like, what? Okay, so, you know, it's possible that something didn't want us to go to that room or was just making its acquaintance early on. That's what I noticed standing in the hallway, which is of probably more interest to my family than anyone, is the fact that we have in our history a boat from Norway hanging over my grandmother's grandparents' couch in their living room when they were alive, and it was called Old Ironside. All right, so interestingly enough, what's the picture across from our room as I was waiting in the hallway? Old Ironside. All right, coincidence? I don't think so. Here's some of the other things that happened. The gentleman who came down who leads the ghost tours, I know that he was under a lot of pressure at the time. If you're listening to this, just understand that you look like a sea captain. All right, let's start with that. And apparently, from what I gathered in my research on you, and which was shown, you actually create those boats that are in a bottle. Very fascinating and excellent job, you know. I know you want to be known as a historical site and rather than a ghost place, but as soon as you left, one of the things, out of fairness to you, is that what you really need to know is that I have this thing with elevators as well as with drawers. Either you have a malfunctioning elevator there or something wanted to prove you wrong with our discussion. I'm sorry to have to say that to you, and decided to fling itself open without my husband or I even coming 3 feet near it as we were approaching it. So it didn't do that when we first arrived, and nobody went in there, and it's hard to say if somebody was coming down, but let's just say that this is not the first time I've had elevators open for me before with nobody in them. Other reports are as follows: door handles being jiggled, butlers showing up at the door with white gloves on, basically someone holding somebody's hand on your ghost tour, room 14 being very haunted with mobster activity. Certainly don't want to be put into that room. Party sounding on one of the floors, which was my floor. When there was a hurricane or something that was in the area and people had to depart, and then it was that just a really loud partying noise that happened on the second floor, footsteps, knocks on the doors, sailor sitting on a ledge outside and then dissipating and disappearing. A dog, because it's a dog-friendly property, also the same one who noticed, or they noticed, the sailor brought their family members directly to the grave, supposedly, of who knows. I mean, I don't know if this sailor even was a part of this whole naming of this place. What else? The neighborhood itself is all haunted, especially there's a place down the road called Bertha's Mussels. Really good mussels, by the way. Excellent. They like to advertise they're haunted. This building used to be a boarding home for sailors, a YMCA, and a vinegar factory. And it's 7 buildings put together, so that's really cool. Apparently, they have ghost tours on Friday and Saturday. We missed that, unfortunately, but well-advertised property as being haunted on TV, radio, and from these ghost detectives that went in there and had numerous experiences. It's a waterfront village and community down there. And, of course, with all that water and all that distress in the past, including the fire that went on and caused a lot of hecticness down there, I can see why, you know, there's a few that are still hanging around. So that's that. What do you think? Do you think the elevator was malfunctioning? Do you think our keys just were keyed wrong? Or what do you think? I don't know. I think somebody there was trying to prove the tour guide wrong, though. The gentleman that looks like a sea captain is very attached to the place, is very much passionate about the history of that place, and something tells me you used to be part of that place. So On that note, I thank you very much, everyone, for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. Please stay tuned as I attempt to bring to you more interesting shows, guests for the year. Thank you and good night.